Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Menachos Daf Lamed Beis. We left off on the bottom of Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, four lines from the end of the page. Amar Rabbi Chelbo. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Aleha Shalom, the Neshamish Shevin Aliyah, and is also sponsored by the grandsons of Judith Fessel Goldsman, Yehudis Bas Shimshon, on the occasion of her yard site, her Neshamish Shevin Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to talk about today. First, we're going to talk about the spacing of the writing of a mezuzah, both as far as psuchos ustumos, how to arrange the parshios, and as far as how much space to leave on the top and the bottom margins of a mezuzah. Then the Gemara is going to talk about the reasons that you can't make a mezuzah out of tefillin. The Braisa is going to give a particular reason, and the Gemara is going to keep questioning, well, is that the only reason that you're not allowed to make a mezuzah out of tefillin? Shouldn't there be other issues as well? We're going to talk about what type of parchment one uses for tefillin versus the type of parchment one uses for mezuzah. The type of, or whether sirtut is required by tefillin and by mezuzah. So we're going to discuss various potential differences between tefillin and mezuzah that would make it challenging to turn tefillin into a mezuzah. Then the Gemara at the end of the daf is going to talk about sitting on the same bench as a Sefer Torah. It's going to talk about the style of writing a mezuzah, and we're going to begin the halachos of being koveya a mezuzah, the halachos of placement of a mezuzah, and that will go into tomorrow's daf, where we discuss many of the halachos of placement of a mezuzah. So let's begin four lines from the bottom of the page. Amar Rav Chelbo. So Amar Rav Chelbo chazinu le Rav Huna de karich la me echad klapi shema. He said that I saw Rav Huna, he would roll his mezuzah from the word echad toward shema. Meaning the first pasuk of the mezuzah, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu, Hashem Echad, and he would roll the mezuzah from the end toward the beginning of the mezuzah. So that's what it means, from the Echad toward the Shema. The Mordechai points out that the Sofrim that nowadays the Sofrim are not noheg to have just the line Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echad on the top line, that they're noheg to also begin via Haftah S on the top line as well. So it doesn't really end, the top line doesn't really end with the word Echad, but you get what it means, meaning it means from the end to the beginning, because we all know that the pasuk ends with echad, and echad is toward the end of the first line. So it's a lav dafka that it's always from the word echad, means from the end to the beginning. Va'osa parshioseha stumos. And the thing we're going to focus a little more on is that he made the parshios of his mezuzah parshios stumos, which means that he would conclude the first parsha of mezuzah, the parsha of Shema Yisrael, in the middle of a line, leave some space, and begin Vahaya im Shemoa on that very same line. Or the other way to make it a partial stuma, the way Tosfos explains in the name of Rashi, is that he would leave a space at the beginning of a line and begin the next parsha in the middle of that very same line. So either he would finish the first parsha in the middle of a line, leave a space in the middle of that line, and begin Vayim Shema in that very same line, or he would leave the beginning of the line blank and begin Vayim Shema in the middle of the line. Both of those would be called stumos. Psuchos would be if you end the parsha in the middle of a line and begin the next parsha at the beginning of the next line. That would be psuchos. So that's how Tosfos understands Rashi over here, and that's what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillin Sefer Torah Perches Halacha Beis. However, there is a Yerushalmi and a Maseches Sofrim that says that if you leave space at the beginning of a line and you begin a parsha in that very same line, that is not called a stuma, that is also called a psucha. So here's what we know. If you were to end a parsha in the middle of a line, leave a blank space on that same line, begin the next parsha on that very same line, that is for sure called a stuma. If you end a parsha in the middle of a line, begin the next parsha at the beginning of the next line, that is for sure called a psucha. The machlokas that we have between Rashi and the Rambam on the other hand, versus the Yerushalmi, what sounds from the Yerushalmi, and Masech Sofrim on the other hand, is if you begin a line blank and begin the parsha in middle of that line, is that called psucha or is that called stuma? Okay, whatever the definition of stuma is, but we know that Rabbi Chelbo said that I saw Rav Huna that when he made his mezuzahs, he made the parshios stumos. It is a little bit of a question. Tosfos asks, why does it say parshios seha stumos. There aren't multiple parshios that could be psuchos or stumos in a mezuzah, because there are only two parshios in all mezuzah, so there's only one spacing. Two parshios creates one space between the parshios. So what does that mean, parshios seha? Because before the first parsha, there's no other parsha that you can begin the first parsha to be a stuma or a psucha. You begin that at the beginning of the klaf. So he says maybe because of the conclusion of the second parsha, it's at the end of a line, and if that parsha, had there been another parsha, it would be a stuma. So that's why he says in Peloshon Rabin that we make a parshio seh stumos, that we conclude the second parsha in a way where had there been a third parsha, it would be a stuma. Okay, so says the Gemara Meisvei. So the Gemara challenges what Rav Chelvel said, that Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Meir Yekosva al duchsustus. Rabbi Meir would write a mezuzah on a type of klaf called duchsustus, which is they will get to later in the daf, where they would peel the skin of the animal so that you'd have two separate pieces of parchment peeled apart from one another, and duchsustus was one of them, klaf was the other one. So he would write out duchsustus kimin daf, like a page of a sefer Torah, which is narrow and long, va'osa revach milamayla, and he would leave spacing at the top of the above the top line, v'revach milamata, and he would leave spacing under the bottom line. Va'osa parshios seha psuchos, and he made the parshios of the mezuzah psuchos, meaning he would conclude the parsha of Shema Yisrael in the middle of a line, leave a space after it all the way until the end of the line, and begin Vahayim Shema in the beginning of the next line. That's the definition of a psucha. So Amarti lo, Rebbe, matam, why are you making the parshios of the mezuzah psuchos? In the Torah, they're stumos. So Amarli, hol ve'in smuchos min haTorah. He says, well, since these parshios appear in two different parshios in the Torah, Shema is in Parshas Ve'eschanan, and Vahaya is in Parshas Ekev. So that's why I leave it psuchos. V'amrav chanan alam rav, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And he said, "Allah is like Rabbi Shimon Lazar." So, what do you mean, "Allah Rabbi Shimon Lazar"? My love, apsuchos. Doesn't that mean that we're paskening? That it's supposed to be psuchos, that when Rabbi Meir said that he made the parshios of the mezuzah psuchos, it means we paskin that way. So you see that Rav paskins that the parshios of mezuzah should be psuchos. So how can Rav Huna, who is a Talmud of Rav, had made the parshios of the mezuzah stumos, right? Meaning the daf started, our shir started with Amar Rabbi Chelbo Chazina Lei L'Rav Huna. I saw that Rav Huna had a practice that he made his parshios stumos. Now we've shown that Rav holds that he's supposed to make the parshios psuchos. So how could it be that his own Talmud didn't follow his shita? Now this kasha assumes that that when we say that halach Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, we mean particularly about the psucha versus the stuma issue. So says the Gemara, maybe that's not what it means. Lo, maybe Rav is not paskening halach Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar about the psucha stuma issue. Arevach. No, he's paskening about the spacing above and below issue, to leave some space above the writing and below the writing. That's where he's saying that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So, by the way, not only do you leave spacing above and below, you also leave spacing on the side, because the Gemara says on Lamed Aleph and Beis that a mayor was korich lemezuzah, we just said at the beginning of this year, from Echad until Shema. So he has to leave at the beginning some space at the beginning of the mezuzah in order to wrap the mezuzah around after they roll it like a Sefer Torah. That's what Tosus points out in Dibra Maskel Va'osa. However, the Shita Mubetzis writes that since that we're knowing to write on the outside of the klaf the Shem Hashem of Shin, Dalid, and Yud, and we're knowing to leave they used to insert the mezuzah into the actual doorway. They would carve out in the door frame a spot for the mezuzah, so even they would cover most of the mezuzah, but they would make sure that the Shem Hashem on the outside of the mezuzah was visible mibachutz. So if you were to leave enough space to wrap the entire mezuzah around, you're not going to end up seeing that shame that's on the outside of the mezuzah. So maybe we don't leave such a revach at the beginning of the mezuzah min hatzad, on the side of the writing. So Mordechai suggests, no, maybe they do, and they just puncture a little window, they poke a little hole in the cloth, so when they wrap it around, it leaves the shame shindalid yud peeking through that hole in the cloth itself as they wrap it around the mezuzah. Okay, but be that as it may, the Gemara thought that we had a kasha on Rav Huna, that how can Rav Huna have made the parshios of the mezuzah to be stumos? Didn't Rav say they have to be psuchos? So he said, no, when Rav paskin, the Rav Shimon Lazar, he was only talking about the spacing above and below the writing on the mezuzah. The kama revach, how much spacing do they taka leave above and below the writing on the mezuzah? Some Rav Nashim Bar Yaakov, Armila, Amrav Shmuel Bar Yaakov, kimelo atba de sifri, the amount of space that it takes up for the piece of wood that had a little crack in it where they would put the parchment of the Sefer Torah in it to hold it down so that when they were writing, the cloth wouldn't fold over. So they had to have something to hold it down. A lot of times when I'm at chasnas and I have to fill in the ksuba, so it comes all rolled up or whatever. So if you just put it out, it's just the whole thing rolls on itself. So they have these nice heavy glasses at chasn tishes now. So you put one on each of the four corners and it holds the cloth in place. So you need something to have to hold it down. So that's the type of kli that they would have to hold it down. The smag and the rush quote from the Gaonim that it's a shear of chatzi tziporen, half of a fingernail. And the reason you need that shear, says the Beis Yosef in Hilchos Tefillin, it's in Lamed Beis, is in order to make sure that you have a proper space for the letter lamid on the top line and for the letter chaf or nun, the end of chaf and the end on the bottom line. Meaning you have to make sure that letters that protrude above, like a lamed has an arm that sticks out above, or that go lower than the line, are still mukaf kvil, that you don't have it all the way down at the bottom. So Beis Yosef says, that's why the spacing is so critical, to leave the spacing on top and the spacing on the bottom, to make sure that it's going to be mukaf kvil, even on the top and the bottom. Amalei by the Rav Yosef, va'atlo tizbra, do you not hold d'chiyam Rav a revach, that when Rav says that we Pasnik Rav Shimon ben Elazar, he's talking about the revach, he's talking about the space at the top and the bottom. Rav Yisrael Minhaga, Rav is someone who's a stickler for Minag. He's someone who's absolutely insistent that we follow Minag HaOlam. And the Minag HaOlam is that we write the parshas of the mezuzah stumos. So it's obvious that Rav is going to say that you're supposed to do stumos, and that Rav is not on team psuchos. So obviously when he said we Pasnik Rav Shimon ben Lazar, he could not have been saying that we do psuchos, because he's a minog person, and minog we do stumos. And so when Rav says that we pass Rav Shimon ben Lazar, it has to be on the revach. Marit points out, because otherwise where would the amoraim that followed Rav come up to do a minog against what Rav said? Because after all the other amoraim aside from Shmuel would have been kafuf to Rav, and especially halacha karav b'yisurim and bishlama, if Rav would not always follow the minog, so we would say that the minog kadmon was bistumos, and even though Rav was a godol adar and he passed him b'psuchos, but we didn't accept we don't accept his shitos when they're against the minog. But once we know that Rav is the one that is a stickler for minog, so it has to be that he didn't paskin to do psuchos if the minog was stumos. So it must be that Rav never paskin like Rav Shimon ben Elazar on the psuchos issue, it's only on the revach issue. So how do I know Rav was such a stickler for minag? If Eliyahu HaNavi himself were to come, v'yomar cholzin b'minol, and were to tell us that to do chalitza for a yavam using a soft leather shoe, shomana, we would listen to him. But ein cholzin b'sandal, if he were to tell us not to use a sandal, not to use a shoe made out of hard leather, ein shomana, we would not listen to him. Shekvar nanguam besandal, because the minog is a sandal. So I wouldn't even listen to Eliyahu HaNavi to say to go against the minog. For Rav Yosef, Amrav Kanam Rav, Im Yovel Eliyahu, Rav Yosef Amrav Kanam Rav had a slightly different nusach of how to say this. Im Yovel Eliyahu Viomar, Ein Cholzin Beminal. If Eliyahu were to come and tell us not to use a minol shomen, no, we would listen to him because we don't use a minol anyway. But Ein Cholzin besandal. But if he were to come to tell us not to use a sandal, Ein Shomen Lo, we would never listen to him. Shekvar Nogu Am Besandal, because the minig is that we use a sandal. V'amrin and my benai, what's the difference between the way Rabba presented it and the way Rav Yosef presented it, we get it that the minig is a sandal, so we use a sandal, not a minil. So minil lechadchila ikabinayu. The chiluk between them is, can you use a minil lechadchila or not? That according to Rabba, no, because unless Eliyahu were to paskin that lechadchila use a minil, and according to Rav Yosef, you're chotzel b'minil lechadchila, unless Eliyahu were to tell us not to be cholitz b'minil. So elalav, so it must be that Rav holds that minig is the ikr, and there were no way to write mezuzos as stumos. So shmamina arevach shmamina. So it must be that when Rav says we pass like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, he means that you write not about the psuchos of stumos, not that you write the parshas of mezuzah psuchos, because Rav goes with minig and the minig is stumos. When Rav says we pass like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, he's talking about the spacing, that the space on the top and the space on the bottom, that we pass like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Okay, another answer to this question on that which Rav Huna was not following his own Rebbe, was not following Rav. Again, we asked the Kasha that how can Rav Huna say that, how can we have seen that Rav Huna wrote his Parshios Stumos, didn't Rav say we pass on Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Rav Shimon ben Elazar said Psuchos. So answer number one was, no, Rav didn't pass on like that part of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, he was passing about it like a different thing Rav Shimon ben Elazar said. Another answer of Nachman Yitzgomar, mitzvah lasos and stumos, that the mitzvah is to make them stumos like they are in the Torah. We have dinu psuchos, but if you make them psuchos, sharper dummy, that's also good. Umay psuchos to come Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, af psuchos, that when Rav was paskening Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he was paskening that you can make them mezuzos psuchos, but Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar never meant that you're supposed to make them psuchos, he only meant that you're allowed to make them psuchos. So yes, Rav paskened that it's kosher, that it's okay if you want to make them psuchos, but not that you must make them psuchos, and therefore his Talmud Rav Huna made them stumos, and that's perfectly fine. Now says Gemara Lema Sayele, maybe I have a raya from a brisa to where Nachman Yitzchak said that the idea of making them psuchos means af psuchos, but not that Rav Shimon ben Elazar ever insisted on making them psuchos, because we have a brisa that if you have tefillin shel yad, you're allowed to turn them into tefillin shel rosh. You're allowed to be maila b'kedusha from tefillin shel yad to tefillin shel rosh, but in the reverse, you're not allowed to do, because you're not allowed to be morid from a kedusha chamura to a kedusha kala, and the assumption is the Kedusha of Tefillin Shel Rosh is greater than the Kedusha of Tefillin Shel Yad, and the reason for that assumption is that there's an extra Shem Hashem that we have embedded in the leather of the Tefillin. The Shem of Shin and Dalet and Yud, and the Shin and the Dalet are both in the Shel Rosh, the Yud is in the Shel Yad, because you have the Shin on the side of the Shel Rosh, the Dalet in the Nod of the Shel Rosh, and the Nod of the Shel Yad has a Yud. So since two-thirds of the Shem Hashem appear in the Tefillin Shel Rosh, and only one-third in the Tefillin Shel Yad, that gives the Tefillin Shel Rosh a greater level of Kedusha. Additionally, the Gemara is going to darshan later on the Pasuk V'ro Kalama Oretz, Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha V'yaru Mimecha, that Elu Tefillin Shebarosh. So we see that Tefillin Shebarosh has an elevated level of Kedusha. That's how Rashi understands. That's what the assumption is going to be, that Tefillin Shel Rosh is greater Kedusha than Tefillin Shel Yad for that reason, or for those reasons of the two of the three letters of the Shem Hashem, plus that's the V'yaru Mimecha. Tosus disagrees with Rashi. Tosus says that the Dalet itself, the Dalet and the Yod are both in the Ritzuos, they're not Osios at all, and therefore it's not really a Shem Hashem of the Shin, the Dalet and the Yod, and therefore that would not count. And that's why Tosus says the reason they darshan the Pasuk about Tefillin Shel Rosh is because Tefillin Shel Rosh are more visible than Tefillin Shel Yad. Tefillin Shel Yad, it says, V'yilucha la'os, and we darshan v'lo la'achirim la'os, that Tefillin Shel Yad are supposed to be covered, right? It's L'chal La'os, not L'Acherim La'os. So why is the Tefillin Shel Rosh have a greater Kedusha than the Tefillin Shel Yad? So Tulsa says, because by Tefillin Shel Rosh, the Or itself has the letter Shin on it, as Halach L'Moshe Misinai. There is no letter Shin on the Tefillin Shel Yad. So there's this additional Kedusha that expresses itself in this Halach L'Moshe Misinai, in the Tefillin Shel Rosh, more so than the Tefillin Shel Yad. And that's why Tulsa is Mesupak. If you're allowed to to go into the Beis HaKiseh with Tefillin Shel Yad, even though you're definitely not allowed to go into the Beis HaKiseh with Tefillin Shel Rosh, right? The Gemara says that if it's a Makom She'enu Meshumar, so then you are allowed to go because you can't leave the Tefillin outside, where they can get stolen or they can get ruined or something like that. As Rav Shechter points out, he doesn't think that the heter of kiss betoch kiss works for bringing tefillin into a bathroom. But he said, but makom she'enu meshumar works. So if you're in an airport and your tefillin are in a bag, which is in your bag, and you can go into the bathroom because it's makom she'enu meshumar. But if you don't have to, if you have someone else traveling with you who can watch the your bag, then you shouldn't go in with a kiss betoch kiss. Anyway, that's the machlokes Rashi tells us about what the kedusha is about, why it is that tefillin shel rosh is more kodesh than tefillin shel yad. But the Braisa goes on and says, keyotze bo sefer Torah shabala utfillin shabalu. If you have a worn out sefer Torah or worn out tefillin, enos men mezuzah, you cannot take the partials of mezuzah from that sefer Torah tefillin and just make a mezuzah out of it. Lefishay maridin mikedusha chamura lekedusha kala. The kedusha of sefer Torah is more severe, is more serious than the kedusha of a mezuzah, and the kedusha of tefillin is also greater kedusha than the kedusha of a mezuzah, because tefillin has four partials, mezuzah only has two partials. That's how Rashi explains the difference. Piskei Rid asks on Rashi then it should be also to make tefillin from a sefer Torah as well, because sefer Torah has lots and lots and lots of partials, and tefillin only has four partials. And we don't find any such halacha. We say you're not allowed to take a Sefer Torah and turn it into a mezuzah. You're not allowed to take tefillin and turn it into a mezuzah. It never says anywhere you're not allowed to take a Sefer Torah and turn it into tefillin. So it doesn't seem that there's an issur, says the Piskei Rid. So therefore, Piskei Rid explains that tefillin shel rosh have a greater kedusha because they're on the rosh, which is the most chashuv of a makom, meaning it's about with the context where we do these mitzvos. Tefillin shel rosh is greater than tefillin shel yad because the rosh is the most chashuv of a place of a person. Tefillin shel yad, a little less so, only on the arm of a person. And even less than that, Sefer Torah, because it's put away in an aron somewhere, it's not even on a human being at all. And even less than that is a mezuzah, because a mezuzah is on the doorway. It's not even protected inside of a box inside of a cabinet in a shul. It's on a doorway somewhere. So anyway, the Gemara is medayik that the only reason you're not allowed to make a mezuzah out of the Sefer Torah is only because you're not allowed to be married from a kedusha chamura to a kedusha kala. Sounds like there's no other issues that you would encounter when trying to turn the partials of a Sefer Torah into a mezuzah. But wait a second, hamaridin, if you were able to be married from kedusha chamura to kedusha kala, you mean to tell me that you would be able to take a Sefer Torah or tefillin and turn it into a mezuzah? There would be no other interference that would, nothing else would get in the way? Amai, hachastumas v'chapsuchas. How does that make sense? The parshios in the Sefer Torah, Shema Yisrael and Vayim Shema, are stumos, whereas in the mezuzah, the parshios need to be psuchos. So Elamai, what do you have to say? That even the parshios in the mezuzah do not need to be psuchos. They are allowed to be psuchos, and that's therefore a riot. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that when Rav Paskins, like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that the parshios of psuchos, it's not that they must be psuchos, it's that they may be psuchos. So it says, not such a great riot. Dilma lahashlim, maybe the Braisa did not mean that it had it been mutter to be morid from Kedusha Chamur to Kedusha Kala, you'd be able to make a mezuzah from the parshios that are written in the Sefer Torah in a normal circumstance. Maybe it means that if the mezuzah were missing a single line and had it been mutter to be more mikdush chamur to kedush kala, we'd be able to take that line from a Sefer Torah and stitch it into a mezuzah, and therefore it could very well be that the parshios of the mezuzah need to be psuchos, and after the tefiras are parshios, they will then be psuchos, meaning you're not taking the whole parsha from the Sefer Torah and putting it in, or from the tefillin and putting it, making it into a mezuzah. You're taking a piece of it to fill in that which you're missing. Ask the Gemara, but wait just a second. Isn't there another problem? If you were to try to be morid from the kedusha chamur to the kedusha kala, if you were to try to make a mezuzah out of tefillin, hamaridin osin. Do you really mean to tell me that the only issue is to be morid from kedusha chamur to kedusha kala? Vahatanya, but I'll bring you a brisa. Halacha l'moshe misinai tefillin ala klaf mezuzah al duch sustus. That tefillin is supposed supposed to be written on the outer layer of the skin of the animal when you slice it, when you peel it into two pieces. Mezuzah on the duch sustos, that's the klaf b'makom basar. Klaf is the writing on the section that faces the basar of the animal. Duch sustos b'makom seyar. Duch sustos is the section that faces out to the seyar, meaning they would slice it into two. The outer part is called the klaf, and they would write on the inner part of the outer half of the skin. The inner part is called the duchsustos, and they would write on the section of that faces toward the seyer, that faces toward the outside. So why does it say in the Braisa that the reason you're not allowed to make a mezuzah out of tefillin is only because in morid mikdusha chamura l'kedusha kala, even if it were mutter to be morid mikdusha chamura to kedusha kala, you wouldn't be able to make a mezuzah out of tefillin because they're written on different parchments. Tefillin is written on klaf, mezuzah is written on duchsustos. So says Gemara, no, when we say that tefillin are written on klaf and mezuzah on duchsustos, lemitzvah, that's only lechatchila. But if you were to do it the opposite, if you were to write a mezuzah on klaf, that's fine, the mezuzah is still kosher. So the only real reason that you're not allowed to make a mezuzah out of tefillin is because ein moridin miketusha chamura lekedusha kala. So again, we had this price that said that you cannot make tefillin into a mezuzah. Why? Because you cannot take a kedusha chamura, turn it into a kedusha kala. Challenge number one is that really the only thing that's in the way? What about the discrepancy in parshios psuchos ustumos? So he said, nah, psuchos is only af psuchos. Challenge number two, but what about the fact that they're written on different types of parchment? That's only a din lechatchila. So that's only a din lechatchila, v'atanya, shina pasul, but don't we have a price that says that if you change and do the wrong kind of klaf, it's going to be pasul, that it's not only a din lechatchila? So it says Gemara, b'tfilin. The din of shina pasul is only by tefillin, but by mezuzah, you are allowed to write mezuzah on klaf. It would still be kosher, not on duchsustos. Tefillin written on duchsustos is problematic. V'atanya, but didn't the Braisa say, shina bein bazeh pasul? That it's pasul whether it's this or that? Doesn't that mean that it's pasul whether you write the tefillin on the wrong kind of klaf or you write the mezuzah on the wrong kind of klaf? Say, idi v'idi b'tefillin. So it says, well, no, that's not what it means. It means, bein bazeh both means that if you're mishana with tefillin. So what's the bein bazeh, bein bazeh? V'ha dekasfinu aklaf b'makum seyar. When one circumstance of doing it wrong is writing the tefillin on klaf in the b'makum seyar, but not b'makum basar, on the side that faces the outside and not the side that faces the inside of the animal. V'ha, and the other way to be mishana is dekasfinu aduchsustus b'makum basar, where you write the tefillin on the duchsustus, even b'makum basar, which is where you would normally write on the klaf. So Kolshkein, if you write the tefillin al duchsustus b'makum seyar, it's going to be problematic. Duchsustus is always going to be problematic, but even klaf could be problematic if you're writing on the wrong side. So that's the bein bazeh bein bazeh. The ibay seima, or maybe we could be miyashiv, that really the brisa when it says bein bazeh means both tefillin and mezuzah. That if you write tefillin al duchsustus, the tefillin are pasul. If you write mezuzah al klaf, the mezuzah is pasul. You're going to ask, why does another brisa say that the reason you don't write mezuzah on tefillin is only because ein morid mikdusha chamur lekedusha kala? That was our primary brisa. Shina bazeh bazeh tanaihi. Because this inyan, this din of writing on the wrong kind of klaf, being a psul, is not universally agreed upon. It's a machlokas tanoim. Titanya shina bezeh bezeh pasul. Tanakama says that it's taka true that it's pasul if you mashana bezeh bezeh. Rav Acham machshir mishum Rabbi Achai, Rabbi Chanina, v'amri lo mishmei de Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Chanina. However, there's another tana that's machshir if you write on the wrong kind of klaf, and therefore the brisa that says that the only reason not to turn tefillin into a mezuzah is because you're not allowed to be more mikdusha chamur to kedusha kala, might be going like the Tana that holds that there's nothing wrong with writing on the wrong kind of klaf, that it's going to be kosher if you write on the wrong kind of klaf. Fine, so says Gemara, but wait, there's another problem with turning tefillin into a mezuzah. Hamaridin osin, you implied in this brisa that the only issue is that ain't maridin mikdush chamur l'kedusha kala, but otherwise we'd be in the clear. There would be no problem with turning tefillin into a mezuzah, but I got another problem. V'abaya sirtut, mezuzah requires sirtut. You need to make etchings and lines to keep it even on the klaf. They make an etching of lines into the klaf. Damrav min yomi bar chilkia, amrav chama bar guria, amrav kol mezuzah she'ena mesurtetes psula. Any mezuzah that doesn't have sirtut is going to be pasul. Rav Binyamin bar Chilkiya didei amar sirtut shel mezuzah halacha l'Moshe Misinai. And Rav Binyamin bar Chilkiya himself says that the sirtut shel mezuzah is halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Whereas by tefillin, we don't find that they require sirtut. So even if it were mutter to be morid mikdusha chamura to kedusha kala, it would be usher to make a mezuzah out of tefillin because it's simply not mesurtetas, and that's going to be a psul if it doesn't have a sirtut. So Tosfos points out, maybe you'll say, okay, you know, it doesn't need to be. Maybe we're talking about a case where you're mesurtet the tefillin. So that's what the Brisa is saying. That then the only thing in your way is kedusha chamura le kedusha kala. In a chinam, you don't need to be mesurtet tefillin, but maybe we're talking about b'chia gavna that a person was mesurtet the tefillin. So Tosfos says that cannot be because who would do that? Meaning, if you don't need to be mesurtet the tefillin, no one does that. So it's not the regilus to do, and if it's not the regilus to do, you're not going to make an ukimta. That's what the Brisa was talking about, that there was already a sirtut in the tefillin. There's another critical thing. Rabbi Kiva Eger has a tshuva in Madura Kama Simin Nun where he says that what if you had the writing already done and then you're mesartate? Are you yotze with that? Can sirtut be done the achar haksiva? Now the function of sirtut is to keep it straight, to keep the writing straight. But let's say you wrote the writing very straight and then you do sirtut. Will that work? Does that count? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, raya from our Gemara that it does not count. Because the Gemara says, how can the Brisa say that the only barrier to turning tefillin into a mezuzah is kedusha chamura to kedusha kala? What about the fact that there's no sirtut? Why is that a kasha? Do sirtut now, right? That would solve the problem. Elamai, you can't do sirtut now. Once it's already written, it must be too late to do sirtut. So Tosfos and Masechta Sota, Daf Yud Zayin is mesupik about this. Rabbi Kiveger's matmiya. How could they be mesupik? It's enough in a Gemara. Menachas lam beis lam beis. Meaning, if you know how to read the Gemara, this says it's so meduyik in the Gemara this way. So says Gemara Tanayhi that maybe it's the din of sirtut by mezuzah is machlokas tanoim. Titania, Rabbi Yirmiyam Shum Rabbeinu, tefillin of mezuzahs nechtavos shalom and aksav. A sofer is writing tefillin of mezuzahs does not need to be copying from another text. He could do it just from memory. And vein tzricha sirtut, they do not require sirtut. So the Brisa says that the reason you're not allowed to make a mezuzah out of tefillin because you're not allowed to be more mikdush chamur lekdush akala holds like Rabbi Yirmiyah that a mezuzah does not require sirtut, and therefore if it would be mutter to be more mikdush chamur to kedush akala, you'd be allowed to make a mezuzah out of tefillin. V'hilchsa tefillin lo bayi sirtut. The halacha is tefillin does not require sirtut. O mezuzah bayi sirtut. A mezuzah does require sirtut. V'idividi nechav shlom aksav. Both tefillin and mezuzah can be written without copying from an existing text. My time migros grisin, and the reason they could be written that way is because everybody is fluent in the parshios of tefillin and mezuzah. So since they're so fluent in the parshios, you don't have to worry that you're going to make a mistake. We said that Hilchasa's tefillin does not require sirtut. Rashi writes Hilchasa means halacha l'moshe misinai, and that tefillin does not require sirtut. So the Ran writes that the chiluk between mezuzah and tefillin is that mezuzah is checked once every 7 years, so it needs to be very nice and mesurtetes. But tefillin is only checked pam biyovel, and therefore it doesn't need to be so nice. The parshios don't need to be written so nicely, which fits Rashi that the Sefer Torah requires sirtut. According to Tosfos, Sefer Torah does not require sirtut, so you have to come up with a different reason for a difference between tefillin and mezuzah, because Sefer Torah is opened up all the time, right? That's not pam biyovel. Rabbi Yonason says that we're not mesartei tefillin because the cloth is very thin and it's likely to tear as a result of the sirtut. Additionally, there's another point over here. We said that tefillin does not require sirtut. Tosfos and Maseches Gittin asks that in the Gemara and Gittin on Davav, it says that Amr Rabbi Yitzchak that you're not supposed to write three words from a pasuk without sirtut. So how could you write tefillin without sirtut? You're writing so much more than that. So the Rabbeinu Tam writes that sirtut that's required for writing even a small amount is one sirtut milamayla. But a sirtut that's required in the mezuzah and not in tefillin is to have al kol shita v'shita, is to have sirtut on every line, not just to make one sirtut on above. So anyway, so the maskana of the Gemara is tefillin does not require sirtut, mezuzah does require sirtut. The Rashba asks in the Chidush Mamiuchasim La Rashba that if that's the case, that tefillin does not require sirtut and mezuzah does require sirtut, so the Gemara's kasha comes back. Why does the Braisa say that the reason we're not allowed to make a mezuzah out of tefillin is because say morid mikdusha chamura lekdusha kala, but had it been mutter to be morid, then you'd be able to make a mezuzah out of tefillin. Tefillin are not mesutatos. Mezuzahs need sirtut. So he suggests that it could be that b'di'evit a mezuzah is kosher even if it's not mesutatos. He says, but then the Gemara, you have a kasha. Why does the Gemara initially ask? The Gemara could have given that answer at the beginning. So he says, be'emes, the Gemara could have given that answer, but the Gemara wanted to bring the shittos of the Tanaim that hold that mezuzah does not need sirtut at all. But it could be that it's a lechachila and a b'di'evit thing. So just to quickly summarize what we did, we said this price that the only reason you cannot turn tefillin into a mezuzah is kedusha chamura to kedusha kala. So the Gemara that set the Gemara off on three different topics. What do you mean? Are those the only discrepancies between tefillin and mezuzah? What about parshios psuchos versus tumos? So we dealt with that. What about the type of klaf that you're using? Klaf versus duchsusos. So we dealt with that. What about the discrepancy in sirtut? So we dealt with that. So those are the three things that the Gemara highlighted in analyzing that price. Good. Amar Rabbi Chelbo. Anachas yisei the Rav Huna to Yosef, to have a Yosef Apurya to Sefer Torah Alei. He said, I saw with my own eyes that Rav Huna was sitting on a bed that had a Sefer Torah on it. V'chaf lekada a'ara, and he took a jug and he turned it upside down on the ground. V'anach alei Sefer Torah, and he put a Sefer Torah on it. V'hadur Yosef b'mita, and only then he sat on the bed. So the Gemara explains, Kasavar asur leishav al gabi mita Sefer Torah munach aleha. He holds you're not allowed to sit on a Sefer on a bed that a Sefer Torah is placed on. Upliga de Rabba Bar Bar Chana, and in that he's going against Rabba Bar Bar Chana. To Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan mutar leishav al gabi mita Sefer Torah munach aleha. He holds you're allowed to sit on the same bench or bed as a Sefer Torah. V'im lach shachadam lomar, and if a person were to whisper in your ear and say that Ma'aseh Rabbi Elazar sheyoshav mita v'nisker Sefer Torah munach aleha v'nishmat v'yoshav al gabi karka, that once Rabbi Elazar was sitting on a bed and he realized there was a Sefer Torah there, so he quickly slipped down and sat on the ground. V'doma k'mishe kisho nachash, and he was in such tsar, it was as if he was just bitten by a snake. He was so upset by what he had done. Hasam Sefer Torah al gabi karka hava. Over there, the Sefer Torah was on the ground, so it was a tremendous design to the Sefer Torah, and that's what he found so upsetting. But being on the sitting on the same bed as the Sefer Torah didn't bother him quite nearly as much or at all. Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel, k'sava igeres. If you write a mezuzah like an igeres, meaning you write without any sirtut, or you're not medakdek in the chaseros and yeseros, you write, you know, the way you would write a letter to a friend, where you're not being so careful about the how neat it is and the editing of it. Nowadays we don't think of this because it's always neat because we're typing and it's always edited because there's spell check. But you know, it used to be when you write a letter, so if it's just a short note, you're not so careful about that. You write a Megillah like that, it's psula. My time, well, what's the reason that if it's written like an Igeris, it's psula? Asik sivik siva mi sefer. By mezuzah, it says, uksaftam al mezuzah beisach vishurecha. And by get, it says, which is called the Sefer, it says, v'kas of la, Sefer krisos, or it says, by Sefer Torah, v'yom ha'shon losh k'sov zosi korim ba'sefer. So just like a Sefer requires sirtut, and you need to be careful in the way you write it, so too mezuzah requires sirtut, and you need to be careful in the way you write it. And if you're not mesartet, or not medaktek, then the mezuzah is going to be pasul. The Tosas raises the question, that's the reason? Didn't we learn sirtut by mezuzah is halach l'moshe misinai? So how come Shmuel over here learns it from a gezerah shava? So Tos quotes from Ibn Tam that when we say igeres, we mean that you're not medaktek in chaseros v'yaseros. It's not really about the sirtut, right? Rashi learns that the discussion over here is about the sirtut, but that when we say igeres, that it's about the sirtut and the chaseros v'yaseros. Tos learns that it's only about the chaseros v'yaseros. Sirtut is not part of this discussion because sirtut is halach l'moshe misinai. Okay, v'amar avidom Shmuel. Now we begin the halachos of tvias mezuzah. Tala'a b'makal psula. If you hang the mezuzah in a makal in the doorway, you have a stick that's hanging down from the doorway, and you stick the mezuzah in that. That is pasul because that's not really on the doorway. My time bishar recha b'inan. The mezuzah needs to be kavua in the shar itself. So it's not kavua b'shar if it's in a makal. Tanya. We have a brisa that says just like this: Tala'a b'makal. If you hang it on a makal that's in the doorway, Oshi nicha achar adelas, or you put it in the wall behind the door and not under the mashkof. Sakana. It's a sakana. What do you mean sakana? You didn't. Sakana means because mezuzah provides protection, so you're not going to get the protection of the mezuzah because you're not doing the mitzvah. Ve'in ba mitzvah, and you're not yotzi the chiyuv of the mezuzah. Shel beis munbas hamelech hayosin. They would hang a mezuzah on the makal in the place where they would sleep when they would travel from one place to the other as a zecher mezuzah, because the place where Ovri Drachim sleep is really potter from mezuzah. It's not a diras keva, so they would do something as a zecher mezuzah, but they would dafka do it in a way where you were not yotzei the actual technical mitzvah mezuzah, because there's no chiyuv in the actual technical mitzvah of the mezuzah. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up two lines from the end of the page. Everyone have a great day.